GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show in the Newsmakers Hour. G on the PDQ to our telephone line. It's the president and CEO of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. It's our chance to reconnect with Dana Connors and catch up with him. He's on line three.
Hey, Dana. Good morning.
Well, good morning to both of you. It's my pleasure to be back. I missed you guys last week.
I don't know. Where were we? We were here.
Oh, I was only kidding. I did miss you. Don't misunderstand me. But
we're as close as your radio and well, safely 6 feet apart.
Yes, true. Yeah.
Well, here we are. We've been talking with you and getting great information and analysis from you for quite a while on this pandemic and the so-called shutdown in Maine and every other place in the country. And tossed in the middle of all of this came a strike at Bath Ironworks and a larger union. It's hard for me to believe. I think it's in the seventh week.
Yeah, it started on June 22nd. So, yep, just about.
Some anticipated there would be movement on Monday as for the second time they sat down to talk. But this time it was labor, management, and a federal mediator. Were you surprised not to see some announcement come out of those meetings, Dana?
Well, there was. I actually have been encouraged on two fronts. Number one, they are back talking to each other in the presence of each other with a federal mediator. That's always positive. And there were a couple of issues that appeared to be settled. One dealing with how merit is applied, and the other had to do with holidays. The two big issues, as I understand it, that was the use of subcontractors to meet deadlines and so forth, as well as seniority, were issues that are still in play. But I do believe I don't know what the status is today, but I do know that from what I've read this morning that they met yesterday and they continue to talk, and that's all very positive. When I wrote that editorial, I need to be very clear. It wasn't that I was trying to insert myself or the chamber into the negotiations themselves, trying to get into the issues, so to speak. It was really what you said when you set up this interview was that, you know, we all probably take for granted until moments like this the impact that BIW and its people have. Its working people have on our economy. And at the same time, it comes in the midst of a war that's being waged in our economy that we know is this pandemic. And I think that the two combined carry incredible impact and is one of deep concern for all of us. So it was really out of concern both to the timing as well as the impact and the need to really get back, seek a compromise, continue the talks. There are so many ways to measure BIW and the people of BIW in terms of the impact, you know, whether they're one of our largest employers, employing, 6,800 people. They hired 2,000 this past year. We're planning on another 1,000. Great paying jobs. Their payroll is like $375 million a year. And shipbuilding has always been, for 130 years, iconic for the state, a brand that we're all very proud of that stood out nationwide. And again, not to go to the dark place, but I think sometimes we take that for granted. And in times like this, boy, we don't. And you know, I've heard John Fitzgerald speak to the legislature and makes the point that those 6,800 people come from just about every county, if not every county in the state. And when you consider the payroll, think of the impact it has on suppliers, the supply chain. That's incredibly significant. But you also have, you know, a working, you don't have success in the economy or in business without understanding it's about the employer and the employee. And I think that the employee, the workforce at BIW has stood out in terms of its quality. I mean, we've all been influenced by and appreciative and proud of the fact that if it's Bath built, it's best built. Well, that is not hype. That's a reality. And that's why we can compete with two other shipyards. And we don't want to lose to those shipyards. And clearly, that's why we're in this, trying to encourage people to get back to the table, to continue the talks, to seek a compromise, just because of the impact it has and the promise it carries when they are in business. And that's the purpose of the letter, not to try to be smarter than we really are, because those issues are issues between management and the worker. And our point was, yeah, you guys are so important to our economy. It comes at a time when, oh my Lord, we don't want another problem. We already know that in recent reports that it was reported that Maine is going to be one of the hardest hit coming out of the pandemic, and on top of a strike, that really hurts. And we are a small business state, and we're very proud of that. But we also know that many small businesses don't have those deep financial resources to sustain a long period of time. So the impact both on the pandemic, but on top of that, the strike from one of our iconic, very significant businesses is very important. And another point I'd make, just because I think it's important to bear out, in a time when they were on strike, it was very promising and encouraging and reassuring to see BIW buy, 250,000 meals for the employees, which helped restaurants. You saw where the employer, BIW, and the employees stepped up and built 30 machines to help Puritan Medical products with their testing swabs. That is both a commitment as well as an ability to do something. So we have something that we're very proud of that means so much to our economy. We want to be sure we don't lose that in any way for a month, 2 months. We want them to get back doing what they do and do well.
Well, 4,300 are out on strike. That means that there's still quite a couple thousand still working. This was the biggest union. It's the Machinist Union S6 that is out on strike. I haven't been in a lot of labor negotiations. We've covered them through the years. But basically, you're not going to get everything you want. I mean, there's going to be some give and take. That's the reason you bring a mediator in. Sooner or later, you have to give on something. And I'm wondering if we're seeing any movement that you can discern that each side is giving a little bit, because you're not going to get it all.
No, and I think we all recognize that, and I think that they probably do too. As I said earlier, from the report I read this morning, that the two sides, the federal mediator previous to this had met with each of them. But I believe I'm correct when I say that on Monday it was the first time they met together with the mediator. And out of that Monday, and I think they met yesterday again, that there were advancements both in terms of the use of merit pay, how it's determined, but also in holidays. The two big issues that needs to be resolved, that to your point, George, understandably, there has to be some give and take. Compromise has to be the answer. Has to do with the use of subcontractors to meet the time expectation that the Navy apparently has for their ships, and the other issue is one of seniority, the use of seniority, how it's applied, and so forth. I don't exactly know what the issue is there, but those two issues, particularly the subcontracting, is an important one, and we both have read, I'm sure, that. They're behind. There's like 6 months behind, and they've already lost a couple of contracts. I'm not sure it was directly related to this, but I think that there was a relationship there or an impact there. In any event, yes, some progress has been made. The two big issues, as I understand it, it has to do with seniority and subcontracting, and that they are hopefully continuing to talk. That's what it's going to take to resolve this. And as you said, I agree, compromise is the word.
Dana, I don't know if I could take you and follow up on past issues, and George alluded to them earlier. We're running out of summer season. There's still some hope that maybe 7-day positivity rates might come down. Rhode Island, Massachusetts, the big state where many of the members of the business and the hospitality industry in Maine would like to see them allowed into our state. As we approach mid-August now, do you see any hope?
Boy, I continue to live with hope. I think the big concern that confronts the administration has been our governor's commitment to public health, first and foremost. And I think that the resurgence you see around the country has an element of fear in everyone. On the other hand, I just read at the office before I went on this call that the rental business in Maine has done exceedingly well, but there was a interesting comment made by Eben Salvatore out of Bar Harbor, who manages Ocean Properties down there, that indicated that in June they were off by 85%, and in July 65%, or I'm going by memory now, but the point being is that July was a big month for the Bar Harbor region, the Mount Desert Island, because of the impact that Massachusetts has on it. I mean, New York and Massachusetts are extremely important. They're all important, but they have the greatest number of incidents. And I think that, the big thing here is the metric and to try to find a way to open it up without any risk to public health. And I think everyone is conscious of that. And I think today more than ever, we are convinced that each and every one of us have a role to play in that by wearing our face mask, by social distancing, by personal hygiene. And I've said this on your show before, and I repeat it. I am so impressed that the businesses in the state of Maine and the people, by and large, some of the ones that don't respect that get some publicity, but by and large, the vast majority are very responsive and responsive to this, and I think it plays a significant role. And I think that the lodging industry, to be honest, is a very safe place, and their protocols and their guidelines have been significant. Yeah, I'm hoping, above hope, that the Massachusetts and Rhode Island is not lost to our entire summer, and that we do find a way. Right now, I can tell you from traveling around, which I do, is that you see a lot of Massachusetts plates, and we'd like to see even more. But we also recognize, and nobody argues with this in any industry, that we want to do it safely.
We are seeing a lot of traffic. We were talking about this yesterday. People who are on the coast say, it doesn't look much different than it does every summer. For a while, you could go down in some of these coastal places and get an easy parking space. Not so easy anymore. But in some cases, like down on the island where they had 35 cases of people who came up here and tested, found out they were positive after they got here. So we still have some problems to overcome.
Yeah, we do, and I think that's what's got a lot of people concerned. I mean, there's public health, there's economic health, there's mental health, and I think every day that anxiety that confronts us within mental health plays a larger and larger role because we made progress. Our administration, to the frustration of some, has never taken their eye off on public health. That's important. People are being very responsible, as I've said a moment ago, but there still continues this lack of when is this going to be over and when will we get back to what we all think in terms of this new normal. And I think that anxiety about when and if it hangs over our head with deep concern today. I think we all recognize in the Northeast, particularly Maine, we're fortunate in terms of the numbers. Not fortunate that, I need to say that better than I just said it. I mean, we've lost people, and that's very unfortunate. And people have been ill. That, too, is unfortunate. But in the scheme of things, when you look at the numbers that we have compared to others, we have something going for us. And it's both, it's a number of things. It's the fact that we are a rural state, for the most part, diverse in our population, and we also have an administration that treats that as a priority, and all of that weighs into it. And I think that helps us in the economy, but we still lag because of the impact that tourism has on our state. I mean, there's numbers between 6.9 and 8 billion, but I'd argue that it's more than that because of what we're seeing, hearing, and reading about.
Yeah, if anything, what has happened now makes us realize how precious tourism is to our state, and maybe that perspective will pay dividends down the line. Dana Connors, President, CEO of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, thanks for spending your morning with the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.